Good morning and welcome to this online service of morning prayer in which the focus will be on our vocation and ministry as Christians. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hymn 344, When morning gilds the skies, my heart awaking cries, may Jesus Christ be praised. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. O Lord, open our lips,
and our mouth will proclaim your praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
On page 118, the canticle Venite, verses 1 to 7. Song based on the 23rd Psalm from Thanks and Praise 147. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want.
I'm
The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Nehemiah, chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. And Ezra said, "You are the Lord, you alone. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. To all of them you give life, and the host of heaven worships you. You are the Lord, the God who chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans and gave him the name Abraham. And you found his heart faithful before you and made with him a covenant to give to his descendants the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Jebusite. And you have fulfilled your promise, for you are righteous. And you saw the distress of our ancestors in Egypt and heard their cry at the Red Sea. You performed signs and wonders against Pharaoh and all his servants and all the people of his land, for you knew that they acted insolently against their ancestors. And you made a name for yourself, which remains to this day. And you divided the sea before them, so that they passed through the sea on dry land. But you threw their pursuers into the depths, like a stone into mighty waters. Moreover, you led them by day with a pillar of cloud, and by night with a pillar of fire, to give them light on the way in which they should go. You came down also upon Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven and gave them right ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments. And you made known your holy Sabbath to them and gave them commandments and statutes and a law through your servant Moses. For their hunger, you gave them bread from heaven. And for their thirst, you brought water for them out of the rock. And you told them to go in to possess the land that you swore to give them."
On page 130, the canticle, Urbs Fortitudinis. The New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." On page 122, the canticle Benedictus.
Oh.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Our Father.
Our Father.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
O Lord, save the Queen.
And grant her government wisdom.
Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness.
And let your servants shout for joy.
O Lord, save your people.
And bless those whom you have chosen.
Give peace in our time, O Lord.
And let your glory be over all the earth.
O God, make clean our hearts within us.
And renew us by your Holy Spirit.
God, who in generous mercy sent the Holy Spirit upon your church in the burning fire of your love, grant that your people may be fervent in the fellowship of the gospel, that, always abiding in you, they may be found steadfast in faith and active in service through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the Church is governed and sanctified, hear our prayer, which we offer for all your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry they may serve you in holiness and truth, to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things guide us to know and do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hymn number 92. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear.
Thank you.
us pray. Our gracious God, we give you our thanks for all that you have made known to us from the Scriptures about our own need and about Jesus our Saviour. We confess our failure to be as concerned as we should for others who have this same need but do not know him. We ask that you will awaken each one of us to the responsibility we have before you for those who need the words of peace, and through Jesus Christ, which we have a sacred duty to make known to them. Then, Lord, give us ready hands, a loosened tongue, and an overflowing heart, that we may faithfully serve you and our neighbor to your glory.
Amen.
We pray that we may be instruments in relieving others' needs. Almighty Father, giver of life and health, we beseech you for the millions of people in the world who are suffering. We acknowledge the richness of your goodness toward us, and we pray for grace to show our thankfulness by working and giving to relieve the needs of those who are in want. We ask it in the name of him who is the bread of life, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
We pray for our country, acknowledging the significant divisions in Parliament and in society generally over legislation currently being considered. Give to all, O God, wherever we stand in our present outlooks and aspirations, a clear vision of the things we believe to be right, and a great patience with the people we believe to be wrong. Use your church in these days and make her fit to be used. May her counsel be far-seeing, her judgments temperate, and her way with people gentle, as befits the gospel she proclaims, in Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen. We pray for those in positions of responsibility in both church and state, and those whom they serve. Almighty God, we know that everything is in your sovereign control. We ask that you will assist us in keeping this new wave of coronavirus from continuing to spread. Give all in official positions of responsibility the ability to appropriately admit people arriving from other countries. Help people to consider staying at home instead of traveling or going out needlessly. Remind people to wash their hands properly. And while it may be heartbreaking, comfort families who decide it is best to keep their distance from senior or high-risk family members or relatives. In Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
As we recall the 80th anniversary of the Battle of Britain, we pray for God's care and protection of the armed services, and in particular, the Royal Air Force. To your care and protection, O Lord of hosts, we commend the men and women of our armed forces at home and overseas. Defend them in the hour of danger. Strengthen them in the fulfillment of their duty. Enable them to serve their country with loyalty, courage, and honor. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And we pray for ourselves as we seek to identify and fulfill the vocation and ministry to which God is calling us. Lord God, as we praise you for all the people in the Bible whom you called to serve you, we remember how some doubted not the reality of their calling, but their own ability to fulfill it. As we ask you now to call men and women to your service, We pray that you will assure them of your own unlimited resources available to all who obey you. Teach us to be supportive of them in fellowship, in prayer, and in giving. So may your church be built up to the glory of your name.
Amen.
Amen. We join in the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen. Hymn 517, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We are observing today as Vocation Sunday, a day on which the Church invites us to think about God's calling to each one of us. And this morning, we ought to be exploring what this means to each one of us personally. The word vocation is from the Latin word vocare, which means to summons or to call. However, it is often seen, even within the Church, as a profession reserved for some people, especially the ordained. And outside of the Church, as those in professions such as nurses or doctors or teachers or police officers and many other public services are often said to be in a vocation. But for us Christians, vocation is much more than just a profession. It is a call from God. And often the Bible uses the analogy of the shepherd and his sheep to explain this calling. There are at least 11 instances in the New Testament where Jesus refers to himself or is referred to as the Good Shepherd. When this number is added to other instances in the Old Testament, like Psalm 23, where God is described as the shepherd, we might be surprised to see how popular this analogy is. The relationship between God and his people is compared to that of sheep and shepherd. The sheep depend solely on the shepherd for their well-being and safety, but for this to happen, they must listen to the shepherd's calling. Likewise, we are implored to listen to God's voice calling out to us. In the Gospel according to St. John, Jesus says to the Pharisees, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." The word translated to church is ekklesia in Greek, which means the community that is called together. So, young and old, men and women, individually and corporately, we are called. And as Christians, our calling is threefold. We are called to follow, we are called to be, and we are called to belong. The first and most important of these three calls is the call to discipleship, a call to follow Jesus as our Master, Savior, and Shepherd. We are called to follow Jesus, to follow him in his care for people, to follow him in his willingness to sit and eat with the wrong sort of people, to follow him in his self-giving love. We are called to care for the rejected, the homeless, the lonely, and the refugees. We are called to love our neighbors as ourselves. The second of our calls is the call to be ourselves. "Be yourself" is a refrain that we hear a great deal in our society. It often means do not worry too much about other people's expectations. This is not what I mean when we say we are called to be ourselves. What I'm attempting to suggest is that God has called us to be ourselves because he has created us to be who we are. If God had wanted us to be anything else, then that is how he would have made us. And when we come to him, though he washes us clean of our sins, nevertheless, he does not want us to throw away every experience or everything about ourselves. God is not a wasteful God. Every experience we've gone through, every knowledge and skill we've acquired are for a particular purpose. They are to make us who we are and should be part and parcel of our calling and what we bring with us when we answer God's call. God called David the shepherd boy and made him shepherd of his people. He called Peter the fisherman and made him a fisher of people. He called Paul the argumentative lawyer and made him his advocate to the Gentiles. Likewise, we are called, each of us, whatever our profession. Are you a banker? Could you bank God's people? Are you a teacher, a doctor, a secretary, a trader, or someone retired? Could God be calling you to use such skills and experiences for his kingdom? Some time ago, there were newspaper reports concerning the Archbishop of Canterbury, the Most Reverend Dr. Justin Welby, and his paternity. It was widely reported at the time that he was indeed not the son of Mr. Welby, but rather the son of Mr. Anthony Brown. We can only imagine the shock for him and his family. But as the Archbishop said, I know that I find who I am in Jesus Christ, not in genetics, and my identity in him never changes. This bold claim is based on his trust in Christ as the Good Shepherd who has called him. In the same way, our identity should be based on our calling. I am not sure whether the Archbishop's experience will enable him to feel what it's like to discover such news about one's paternity, and this will enable him to help others in reconciling themselves with such. Whatever our experiences in life, good or bad, we pray that we would allow them to enrich who we are so that we could help others in such situations. The third part of our calling is the calling to belong. Jesus tells us that there will be one flock of which he will be the shepherd. We are called to belong to each other. We are called together, never on our own. We cannot be ourselves on our own. We are made to live in the midst of people. We cannot follow Jesus on our own. We are called into the one flock with Jesus as our shepherd. We are called to love one another, and we cannot do that on our own. God made us to need each other, to need other people. We need one another in order that we can fulfill our vocation together. Together we will learn to be ourselves. Together we will seek to follow Jesus. Together we will use our gifts to uplift and serve the body of Christ. Hence, vocation is not just for some people. We all have a vocation. We are all called. The key is to find your vocation and to follow it. No one could answer a call they have not heard. We can only answer God's call if we've heard it, and we can only hear it if we've listened for it. This listening is both individual and collective. Let me conclude with a challenge. Are we listening for the voice of God calling us to be ourselves, to follow Jesus, and to belong to one another? And how is that calling to be manifested in the realities of our lives as individuals and as a community? God is spirit. He is not static, and he constantly wants to do something through us. Might God be calling you to a new thing? And might that new thing be ministry in the church, whether as a lay preacher, a visitor, a small group leader, a teacher, or helper, or even as an ordained person. Yes, some of these possibilities are very limited at the moment in the particular circumstances in which we are living during an emergency pandemic. But none of us is without a calling. So, what is yours? Or might God be calling you to do something differently with your vocation? Or do you know somebody who you think God might be calling to a particular ministry? You might want to say a word of encouragement to them. And if you would like to explore what your calling might be, you could have a chat with those who are already involved in what you feel you are being called to. Otherwise, why not mention it to someone like me or someone else who you trust, who would point you in a particular direction and help you in exploring what your individual calling might be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Hymn from Thanks and Praise, number 42, Go at the Call of God. To God's gracious mercy and protection, we commit you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his perfect peace, this day and always. Amen. hymn number 454. Forth, in the name of Christ, we go. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May I thank you for listening to and participating in this online act of worship this morning. Anna Hilt Sunday School will resume today at 12 noon via Zoom. Also today, items for the October Parish Magazine are now due and may be sent to myself or Roger Maxwell. This coming Wednesday, there will be the decoration of Anna Hilt Church for harvest. The decoration, of course, would normally take place on the day before, Saturday morning. But this year will take place on Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please note this change in day and time, which is to allow 72 hours between the decoration and the Sunday services in line with public health guidelines. May I respectfully ask that you do not offer gifts of fresh fruit and vegetables this year, as it will not be possible to distribute them afterwards in the circumstances of the present pandemic. However, gifts of flowers, greenery, corn, and foodstuffs that may be passed on to the local food bank will be very welcome and gratefully received, as well as being much appreciated. The Harvest Festival in Anna Hilt takes place next Sunday, At 10 o'clock, the service will be Harvest Parish Communion, both in church and online. The preacher will be the Reverend Clifford Skillen, former rector of Finahy in Belfast. The young people attending are asked to bring a non-perishable item of food, possibly a packet of biscuits or a tin of soup or fruit. At 7 o'clock, the service will be evening prayer. The preacher, Canon John Ocmute, rector of St. Columbus Parish, Knock. Unfortunately, due to current public health restrictions, it will not be possible to hold the traditional Sunday evening harvest supper this year. Those intending to come to either service on Harvest Sunday are asked to inform the church wardens, who will reserve seating. The contact details of the church wardens are in the parish magazine or in the letter recently sent to parishioners or on the parish website. Harvest appeal envelopes in support of the various missionary societies were included with the September parish magazine and may be returned at either of the harvest services. God willing, in-church worship will resume in Mara Hamlet on Sunday the 4th of October at 12 noon. The general vestry meetings of both parishes, which were deferred earlier in the year on account of public health restrictions, will now take place as follows. In Annahilt on Monday the 12th of October, in Mara Hamlet on Wednesday the 14th of October. Both meetings will be at 8 o'clock in the respective parochial halls. Thank you.